From spooky legends past, down through generations, to haunted locations that hold a ghostly past. Come one, come all, come finders and seekers. Hear the creepy side of Nepa.
Hello, I'm Dan Kozlowski.
And I'm Nora Herchick. Welcome to our Halloween episode of The Creepy Side of Nepa. This week, we have a very special campfire episode featuring some of the Newswatch 16 team here to share some of their stories from the creepy side.
Before we get started with this week's episode, I just want to remind all of our listeners out there, and also if there's any new listeners, to subscribe to The Creepy Side of Nepa, depending on the podcast platform that you listen to us on. Now, let me introduce to you our first guest here at the virtual WNEP Creepy Side of Nepa Campfire, Carolyn Blackburn. Carolyn, welcome to the show.
Hey, everybody. I'm Carolyn Blackburn. I am a nightside reporter at Newswatch 16. I've been here for about 3.5 years. I'm originally from New Jersey, but I'm loving Northeastern and Central PA. There's also a lot of spooky things that happen around here, and Halloween is my favorite holiday. Autumn's my favorite time of year, and you can't get any better than the fall leaves that happen here. Am I right?
I totally agree.
So to tell you guys a little bit about my experience with the paranormal, it happened when I was probably 7 or 8 years old. I spent the entire night talking with my dad about his mom. So my grandma. She had passed away before I was born, probably about like 10 years before I was born. But I was always kind of told that, you know, if she had gotten to know you, you guys would have been best friends. The two of you would have just immediately hit it off, like very kindred spirits. The two of you are just so similar. So my dad spent hours with me this one night just explaining to me who she was, telling me when she was born, what was her birthday, what was she like, what jobs did she have? Just answering like every question that I had. And as a kid, my dad used to always joke that like the questions never stopped with me because they didn't. I was always asking him, you know, a million questions, especially about our family. So this night in particular just like really stuck out to me. And he had this picture of my grandma above the den where we were talking, and he was showing me all these pictures of her, but this one picture of her and my grandpa just like really stuck out in my memory. And so I am going to sleep that night after having this conversation with my dad, and the lights are all out. My shades are all drawn. Like, it's pitch black in the room. And every single night before I go to bed, I pray to God and I, you know, say I'm so grateful for the day. And I thank him for all the things that he gave me. And I was literally praying to God that, you know, thank you for giving me a grandmother who, although I didn't get to know, I know understands me and is always watching over me. And I swear to God, like if I had my hand on a Bible, I would in this phone call right now. As soon as I prayed to God and I said, thank you so much for having this woman in my life, I opened my eyes and I saw her in my room.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. That is pretty freaky.
Yeah. Yeah. So I screamed as loud as I could. And then my mom comes rushing into the bedroom and she's like, Carolyn, what's wrong? And she sees it too.
Wow.
So my mom she never believed in ghosts. She never believed in the paranormal. And my entire life, like as a little kid, I was totally into this stuff. Like Halloween was always my favorite holiday. So I was always like into horror movies and things like that. My mom never believed in ghosts. And my mom didn't see like the same kind of apparition that I did. I saw, like, by the time my mom walked in, it kind of got more, like, wispy. It wasn't, like, that picture of a woman's face that, you know, had been there when I first opened my eyes. It got more wispy, but it was still there. But my mom saw the exact same thing.
So and when you saw it, was it, like, a person actually standing there? Or did it look more like a see-through, more translucent figure?
It was more like a translucent figure, but I saw her face as clear as day when I first opened my eyes. And then, like, you know, 5 seconds later, it kind of started to get more and more hazy. And that's when my mom came in my room and she saw it too.
How did that make you feel? I mean, I know you said that you screamed, but, like, was it more of a scream out of just, like, holy crap, what am I looking at? Or was it, were you actually frightened by it? Or
honestly, it was a little bit of both. It was me being afraid because I've never seen anything like that before. Mm-hmm. But also me just being like, what are the odds? I literally was just praying to thank God for letting this woman watch over me. And then here she is. You know, the moment I opened my eyes, and something told me to open my eyes because I wasn't done praying yet. But something said to me, like, open your eyes and look at this. And I was like, oh, my God. You know, I couldn't believe it. And if my mom wouldn't back me up on this story, I probably would never tell anybody this story because it just sounds so unbelievable. But that's exactly what happened that night. And it's been something that I've, like, kept with me as, like, a reassurance of, you know, when things are upside down in your life or you really just kind of feel like, what am I doing here? What's the purpose? I think about that moment and I'm like, well, you know, she's watching over you. She's going to make sure that you end up okay in this situation and, you know, everything's going to be all right.
Yeah, we'll definitely take that as a sign that she is probably watching over you.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't know. I just, because basically I was so frustrated that night too. After leaving that conversation with my dad, being like, I felt like I was robbed of an experience with her and getting to know her. And I felt like that was her way of saying, like, no, you weren't. You know, I'm here and I'm waiting for you and someday we'll meet again.
Yeah. So, like, kind of, I mean, even though your initial reaction was being alarmed, which I don't blame you, it sounds like now you kind of really feel the connection to her and it was in a good thing that it happened.
Right. And I mean, I was so young, I didn't know what to make of it. Like, I didn't know if I should really, like, believe that that was her. But then, you know, I told my mom that story and again, she doesn't believe in this stuff, but my mom was like, there's literally no other explanation. There was no, like, peeping through the, you know, the window where some type of light would have played with it or like a car passed by or anything. Cause my mom will be the first person to tell you, you know, oh, it probably was that, you know, but no, like my mom was looking through the entire room afterwards to try to figure out, like, why did we see that? And my mom was like, there's nothing. We both just saw a ghost.
Yeah, it's one of
was
those
your
things-
mom scared?
My mom was scared. I just remember her being very, like, methodical about it and trying to figure out, like, why did we see this? In a logical way, like, she really at first was trying to think, like, okay, this was probably a car passing by that, you know, peeped through the window. But no, like, they're just, that's, you know, not what we saw. That would have been, like, just a quick little, you know, light passing through quickly.
Right.
But
it sounds like one of those things you definitely just can't explain.
Exactly.
Did that experience turn your mom now into a believer of the paranormal, or does she still kind of have that little skeptical feeling about it?
She's skeptical of pretty much everything, but she's positive that that night the two of us saw a ghost.
I mean, I guess if she had to see a ghost, that was a good one for her to see.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
And not trying to hurt anybody.
You know, you hear all these things about, like, the energy that you feel, and when I think back to that memory, my mom says the same thing. It wasn't an energy that we felt that was like, get out of here, like, get out of this house, or I'm mad at you, or an angry energy at all. It really was just like a comforting kind of feeling, and also just like a, I'm here. That's what really it felt like, was I'm here and I see you.
Like being around your grandmother.
Exactly.
So, I mean, you said your mom's skeptical of, you know, paranormal and everything, but you, knowing you, and spending any time with you, like you mentioned before, you are super into Halloween, super into, you know, all sorts of paranormal and everything like that. It's very interesting to you. Is anybody else in your family like that? Or where did that, you know, interest in the paranormal come from?
Honestly, my sister Catherine is also super obsessed with Halloween. And she always grew up watching horror movies. And my mom loves to decorate. So she goes crazy for Halloween.
Now, see, in my house, it's the opposite. I go crazy decorating. My parents think I'm crazy.
Yes, I love that.
Yep.
But yeah, no, honestly, in New Jersey, Halloween is huge in the culture. Like it is here. Like, there's so many bands that kind of, like, center songs all around Halloween. It's just, it's made out to be, like, just the ultimate time of year, because it is for both of our areas. It's just so beautiful. And I love like the mysticism surrounded by it. You know, like you never know what's going to happen that night, but it's also so family oriented too. Like some of my happiest memories on Halloween were, you know, running around with my dad, getting dressed, you know, with my mom doing my makeup and doing fun things like that. It's just, I love the buildup of Halloween. I think it's so much fun.
It's definitely a holiday just about having fun.
Exactly.
Well, I'd like to thank you for coming on the show and sharing that story with us. That's a pretty good story, to be honest with you.
Thank you. Yeah, you know, it's one of those things that I honestly don't tell a lot of people about, but to me it felt so, like, it felt very pure. So it's a thing I don't tell a lot of people about because I don't want them to judge me, but I think that we're in good company.
Absolutely. And I think you might be one of our first paranormal stories, or, you know, something weird happened to you that was more of a positive light. I mean, so many times on this podcast, we get people, you know, and they're sharing stories of something that scared them or something that they really couldn't explain. And like, they still can't explain. And I mean, you kind of have that full blown story of, you know where that came from, and, you know, it happened to be your grandmother. And it just proves that not all spooky things are that spooky necessarily.
I totally agree. It seems like most of the stuff was negative on the show, more like trying to scare somebody as opposed to something positive like tonight's story.
Right, exactly. And sometimes that can be the case too, you know. It's just, I think everything out there is just energy, and positive energy also exists.
Sure, I definitely agree with that.
And you certainly are a little ray of positive energy, my friend.
Oh, you're too good to me, Nora. Thank you guys so much. I appreciate being here.
Well, thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you for coming on. Bye, Carolyn.
Have a good night.
Thanks, guys. You guys too.
So we have Chris Keating, one of our reporters here at NewsWatch 16. Chris, hi. Welcome.
Welcome to the show, Chris.
Well, glad to be here. Well, we were talking before the show started, and I said, I am glad to be here, but at the same time, kind of not because of the reasons why I'm on the show. But I'm happy to be here on the podcast.
Well, we're glad to have you on the podcast.
I bet you are.
So tell us a little bit about yourself in case, you know, any of our listeners might not be local to WNEP NewsWatch 16 in our viewing area. Tell them a little bit about yourself.
Okay. I'm the bureau reporter for the Williamsport area for WNEP. So basically anything in central PA, I kind of report on. News-wise, I'm from Georgia, went to Penn State, so I'm very familiar with central PA. I've been up here for like the past 5 years, been up in Williamsport for 16 months. And that's basically what I do.
Wow, you've been here over a year already?
Yeah, it doesn't feel, it feels like it and doesn't feel like it because things have kind of been flying by. But at the same time, it feels like I started years ago because of this whole pandemic going on. It's just been a whirlwind of a start.
Yeah, I agree with you there.
Yeah.
All right. So I saw some tweets that you posted the other day.
Yeah, Nora, you were the one that found these tweets.
Yes. So you posted some tweets about a potential ghost that might be living in your apartment where you happen to be speaking to us from right now. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, I will say it's kind of – I was thinking about this earlier today while I was at work. I was like, I'm going on this podcast tonight. I'm super stoked and everything like that. Then it hit me like, well, I'm going to be talking about this haunting or this possible ghost in the place where I'm possibly being haunted or where it's living or residing.
Might actually be our first guest talking about their haunting inside the place where it happened.
Yeah, I don't know if that makes me either look like I have a lot of courage or if I'm just dumb at that point. But yeah, so I went to Twitter, and I'll be honest with you, I wasn't going to go to Twitter because I kind of – the whole haunting or like starting to like notice things started last year, and it's just been something I mentioned to family and friends in this area, and I wasn't really going to out myself because I didn't want people to think I was weird or anything like that, like complaining. But it just got to the point where I was like, all right, I got to tell people about this because it's getting a little over the top. So Nora saw my tweets. So just a little background for anyone who doesn't know, I live in Williamsport. I live in the Valamont part of Williamsport, which is like near the hospital, if anyone's familiar with the area. And I live in an old schoolhouse, an 1800s Victorian schoolhouse. I know that sounds spooky.
That's super spooky right off the bat.
Right? And to add on to that, I live
Chris
in the attic.
In an old schoolhouse.
in the attic, nonetheless. Like, there wasn't even classes in this part of the room. I'm the only person who lives up in the attic on the top floor.
Of course you would be in the attic.
Of course. And there's eight other tenants here. And they're all like the first or second floor of what used to be classrooms. But I'm in the attic. And so I guess the story kind of starts last year when I moved in June of 2019. And I moved in, loved my apartment. It was awesome. I just Victorian schoolhouse. I thought the whole aesthetic of it was cool. And so I moved in, June and July. It was just normal apartment, just like anybody lives in. But then like August and September hit, and I just started noticing things. And I don't know, and I realized maybe it was a coincidence, but when does school start? Usually it's August and September, and I live in a schoolhouse. And that was like a connection I made, and it was just creepy. I was noticing things in different places. I was hearing doors shut if I was like laying in bed. I was hearing things move. I got to the point where I was like even hearing voices, and like I would have feel chills all the time. My cat, who I have here, her hair would be up on her back sometimes, just like staring into like the middle of my living room.
That's definitely telling, especially because, I mean, they always say that, you know, animals can kind of sense energy you know, whatever that we might not be able to see with our own eye.
Exactly. And you could tell, like, sometimes she was bothered. And, like, I could tell, too. And, like, I would hear just random noises. Like, I'd be in the living room, and I would just hear something in my bedroom just move, or just something would fall, or something would shut. And I'd go in there, and I'd inspect it, and I would never see anything. I would just hear things. I'm like, all right, maybe this is in my head. Maybe it's in my head, and I'm just picturing, just dreaming all this.
Just trying to explain it away.
Yeah. So, I mean, then it got to the point where I started hearing like laughter, and then I thought I was crazy. This is why I didn't want to tell anybody.
Now that's definitely creepy. Once you start hearing the laughing.
Yeah, I was hearing laughter, or I just heard, or if I was laying in bed, I would just hear like a soft, gentle hello, like that, like a child's voice.
Oh gosh.
I'm like, all right, Chris, just close your eyes. You just worked a long day. That's what it is. You're just tired. And I would convince myself. And it wasn't frequent either, y'all. It would be like every now and then. It wasn't something I'd come home to every night, because if that was the case, I would be long gone. I wouldn't be
here. It was probably when you least expected it, though.
Exactly. People are listening to this right now. They're like, this kid's crazy. And wait till they hear the other parts. They're going to think I'm insane. So this continues. And then we get to March of this year is when the, I guess, scariest, if you want to say, or most peculiar thing happened. So I'm sitting there in my living room. It's right after work. It's 5:30. I got off at like 5 that day. I didn't have a live shot or anything like that. So I went home. I'm sitting there on my couch, and I get a knock at my fire escape door. For a little more background in my apartment, there's two entrances. Through the building and up the stairs and on my normal entrance where people would knock. And then there's a wooden fire escape on the side that only leads up to my apartment.
And I don't like that it's wooden. That sounds extra scary.
It's rickety. I hardly ever use it. Like, maybe I'll use it to take the trash out.
And also, like, what floor are you? You said fourth, like third or fourth?
Third floor.
So that's quite a height, too, I would assume.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like I said, I will never, like, just voluntarily, like, oh, I'm going to take the fire escape up to my apartment.
Is your apartment the only one that can be accessed by this fire escape?
Yes.
Okay, so, like, if somebody was knocking on that door, they would be only going to your apartment. There's no way that they could possibly, you know, knock on your door instead of the guy next door or something like that.
You're entirely correct. It only leads to my apartment. It doesn't lead to any of the other apartments. There's, like, windows on the side, but you'd have to, like, reach like way over the side to even try and get a hand on it to knock on it. So it only leads up to my apartment. And like I said, it's my parents will come here, and my dad won't even look at it because he's scared of heights. Like, that's like, that's like, I won't use it. I just want people to know, like, that's, it's insane if you walk up that constantly, because that makes no sense. But so I'm sitting there and I get a knock at my door, and I'm like, where's that knock coming from? Because it's not coming from my main door. And I pause for a second, and then another knock. I'm like, that's coming from my fire escape door. Who's at my fire escape door? Who walks up someone's yeah. fire escape and knocks on a fire escape door? And so at that moment, my cat, Iggy, shout out Iggy, comes into my living room, and her hair is up on her back. Like, it's straight. And she's like, just creeped out because someone's knocking at the fire escape door. I'm like, okay. So I approach the door. I open it, and there's this little kid, probably about like 12, 11, 13 years old, in that range. And the only thing I really remember him, he had like the red hair. That's pretty much it. So he was wearing normal clothes and everything like that. And he asked me, what, I said, hello. And he goes, is John there? Can John come out and play? And I know, right? And I go,
that's like a line just, from a horror movie.
And I'm just processing all this. Like, I'm more in shock that this kid walked up my fire escape at the,
yeah, clearly I would be too.
At. That's what I'm concerned. I'm like, oh, why is it? But then that first time he asked me the question, it didn't really register with me. Then he goes, can John come out? And I said, buddy, there's no one named John that lives here. It's just me up here. And he just goes, okay. And then just turns around and starts walking. And I shut the door, and I walked back, and I sat down on my couch just processing what just happened. And then it kind of hit me. It was like, I understand getting a house confused for your friend, but I've never seen this one. Never seen this kid in my entire life. I drive in this neighborhood all the time. I know a lot of the people that live on this street. I've seen a lot of the kids out playing. Never seen this kid one. Second, I don't understand how you get my apartment where you have to walk up a fire escape confused with little Johnny's house, if little Johnny's real. And then third, I sat there thinking, and this is what hit me the most, is I'm the youngest person who lives in this building. So who is he coming to see? And then I got up because I was like, this has to be, this can't be real. Got up. I looked out the window to see if I could see this kid walking away. Couldn't see him. And then
that's
went back
so
and sat
bizarre.
Down. And I don't think I slept that night.
Yeah, I don't
I
think
would
I would
not
either.
Have no.
Like, it's entirely possible that this kid was just looking for his friend named John.
Yeah.
But if you factor in, like, the barriers that would, I kind of like, why, how could he get my apartment, my fire escape, confused with John's house?
Yeah, he would have definitely had to put some effort in, it sounds like, to get to your apartment for sure.
Exactly. And like, I mean, has he seen John before? Because he knows he's never walked up that fire escape one. And then second thing being, there's no other apartment on my street. It's all houses. And there's no other fire escape. So there's no way he's never walked up that fire escape before. So that was odd to me. And yeah, that was scary. And then just recently, what made me send out the tweet happened the night I sent out the tweet, which Nora, I think, was a couple days ago. It was like 3 or 4 days ago.
Yeah, it was like, it might have been Sunday or
Monday. So yeah. I'm sitting there in my apartment, and just all of a sudden, my light fixtures in my apartment start flickering. I'm like, okay, what's going on? Like, is things short circuit? What's going on? Then they all went off. Everything went off. I went to check the light switch, and I messed with the light switch. My lights weren't coming back on. I'm like, okay, lights aren't coming on. Maybe it short circuited. But then I was like, no. What are you thinking, Chris? Maybe I thought my electricity might have gone out. But my TV was still on. My lamp was still on. My phone was still charging. Power socket still worked. It was just my light fixtures. I looked out the window to see if anybody else's like house lights weren't on. The house right next door to me was lit up. I'm like, okay. Let's go to the breaker box. Breaker box is in my bedroom, in my closet, in a tiny little crawl space in like my closet. I have to get on my knees and get down in there and open my breaker box. And I'm sure you guys have fiddled with a breaker box before at least once or twice. And you've dealt probably with a short circuit or something like that. But I open my breaker box, and my light fixtures for each room are flipped to the off position.
So the actual breaker switches themselves are flipped off? It isn't like they were just turned orange like they usually do when something trips. They're actually flipped over, you're saying?
They were pulled out to off.
Wow.
Yeah. So
that's crazy.
I'm looking at that and I'm like, I've looked at a breaker box before. There's been a trip before, but I don't think they've ever gone to off.
I never really heard them switching over to off by themselves either.
Yeah. So I'm sitting there and I'm like, all right, just turn the lights back on. So I push them back all on and my lights all come back on. And I sat there and I was like, that doesn't seem right. So that's what made me tweet what I tweeted. At that point, I thought, whatever, maybe this ghost saw my last electric bill and it was like, all right, I got to help this guy out. Or something like that. Maybe it's a friendly ghost. And that leads me to what happened literally tonight as I got home. Another light thing occurred. I'm walking up to my apartment door, not on the fire escape, by the way. I'm walking up like a normal person through my building. And there's a light that's usually always on, right outside my apartment door. It's usually always on. I think it comes on at like 5 o'clock every night. It's on a timer.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't on. I'm like, what's going on? It was like 6:47 at the time. Cause I looked at the time cause I wanted to bring this up tonight. 6:47. Like, all right, this light must be out. Must not be working, but it's like pitch black, like right in front of my door. And I'm trying to fiddle with my keys, find my key that opened my apartment door. I said to myself, dang, I can't see right now. Where's my key? I'm talking out loud to myself. And as soon as I said that, lights flipped on.
Wow, very bizarre.
Could be a coincidence. But after experiencing everything I've experienced, I don't think it is. That's just me. I don't know if someone's messing with me or what's going on. But at the same time, all these experiences, and like I've had some subtle ones, like hearing noises, like the hair on my arm goes up and I just feel chills. Like I don't feel like it could be a coincidence. And so that's kind of what prompted those tweets. And that's kind of what put me on the show.
Like there's been too many things. Like, I mean, obviously, and like I mentioned before, Dan and I, we kind of try to figure out maybe what could have explained some of these things.
We always try to debunk whatever we're presented.
Yeah. Okay. And like, there are just too many of these little things that could very well all just be coincidences. But it seems to me that there's too many going on for them all to just be coincidences.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
And that kid coming up on your fire escape, that one, I mean, I hope that was just like some kid. I don't know.
I've never seen that kid in my life.
Scared him to go up, like maybe.
But that is definitely a commitment he took.
Yeah, no, it is. It was March. I'm pretty sure there was still snow on my fire escape.
It doesn't sound like you clean that off if there's like snow or ice or anything like that, because you don't use it really, right?
I don't use it. No, I mean, I would, even in a fire, I probably wouldn't use that thing. I mean, it's also wooden. I don't know who makes a wooden fire escape. That just shows how old the building is.
Yeah,
that doesn't make much sense.
Yeah. So yeah, it's just all those small things. I will say though, the big things like the kid and the lights, have been spaced out. One happened in March, one happened now. But the light thing tonight, that was just 5 days after. The bigger events have kind of been spaced out. But every now and then, you just hear that occasional noise. And I know we all have, like, noises in our houses and our apartments. Like, oh, it could be something inside the walls. But I'm telling you, you spend a night here in this apartment, you hear one of those noises. I guarantee you, if you continuously hear it, I don't think you're thinking like that anymore. I think you're thinking of something else.
Yeah, especially if it's something you just can't explain.
Yeah, and trust me, I would love to hear to sit here and debunk everything I just told you with you guys. That would make me so much happier. Trust me, I would like you guys to tell me I'm crazy, honestly, at this point. I'd rather that.
You're crazy, Chris.
Thank you.
No, we're just kidding. Yeah, no, these are all just crazy. Are you scared to live in your apartment now, or?
You know, I fully embraced it. I will say that other night when the light thing happened, I was kind of scared that night.
Yeah.
I was kind of just like, okay, that's weird. That's never happened before. I don't know why things would be switched to the opposition. I was scared at that point. But it's not been anything like –
really like over the top scary haunting wise. I mean, it's just been my light fixtures. It's been the kid at the door. Nothing like you hear with people being like actually truly like haunted or like scratches on me or anything.
Yeah,
like
to
that.
Me, it doesn't sound like they're there to harm you at all. Maybe just mess with you a little bit, but definitely not harm you. It doesn't seem like.
It almost seems like kids trying to play a prank. Like school kids trying to play a prank.
Well, Chris, I mean, you are one of our youngest reporters. I know you're just a couple years younger than me, but maybe they think that you're one of them.
I do act like a child a lot, so maybe. I mean,
maybe they just think you're like a kid.
I mean, see, and that, I'll be honest with you, I think that's cool. If that doesn't, when people ask me or say I would have moved out of there, I like my apartment, and I honestly think if that is the case, if it is a couple of kids haunting me or just playing some jokes on me, I don't see a problem with that in the sense of like me wanting to move out. I almost think that's cool. I'm not scared.
It adds character to the place.
It does. Definitely adds character. But when the kid came up on the deck, I'll be honest with you, I wasn't scared. I just couldn't sleep that night because I was in shock. Because I was thinking like so many different things. Like, was that a real kid, or was he actually looking for a kid named John? Never seen it. I was just constantly. And how could you not? But yeah, that moment right there was probably the most shocking of everything. And I told my family that, and they were all just. My mom and I are big ghost people. That was our thing growing up. We would watch and indulge in almost everything ghost related. Actually, we have a trip planned to go to Gettysburg here soon. So, I think it's kind of cool.
Yeah,
Gettysburg is so fun. You're gonna love that.
Really? Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, but I mean, it sounds like any of these things, you know, you could say they're scary, but like you said before, nothing is hurting you. You know, it doesn't sound like it's malicious. If there is some sort of paranormal presence or some sort of energy or something like that in your apartment or in the building or whatever, they're not trying to hurt you.
Maybe mess with you a little bit. That's it.
I think, it's funny is I didn't really think about this until y'all said it, is that since I'm younger, and I know I mentioned when the kid came up to my door, I thought I'm the youngest person here in this apartment, but I'm like not just the youngest. I'm younger than almost everybody here by a good bit. So maybe that's honestly why they're playing around with me compared to my neighbors who are like 50, 60 years old.
Yeah, you might be just someone they could relate to.
That's interesting, guys. You just made me like, just now I'm just blown away. Like, I'm totally convinced at this point. I mean, and the fact that I'm here talking about it right now, I'm surprised my lights haven't flickered on or off at some point.
That would have been awesome.
If that happened, that would seal the deal for us.
I know.
Sure would.
I know. I mean, trust me, I would, at the end of the day, I would like you guys to debunk anything I said, but if not, then, like you said, it adds character to the place.
Yep, I totally agree. It adds character to the place, and if they're not there to harm you, you might as well just embrace it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't plan on moving anytime soon, so, I mean, I'm gonna stay for a while. They're going to have to deal with it.
You could befriend them.
Yeah, I don't know how to do that. I was talking to my mom earlier. She goes, just throw a ball in the other room. If it rolls back, then they want to play. I'm like, Mom, I'm not doing that. You imagine seeing a ball roll back in the
room? Yeah, I don't know about that.
I don't know about that one. Little red ball just rolls right back in the room. Like, nope.
I think I would let, any of the interactions come from them first and not from myself if I were you. I would just
maybe roll the ball on Halloween night. See what happens.
No.
You guys got to come over for that then. We're doing that. I'm going to need people here.
You can't be alone for that one.
No. Oh, now I'm thinking about Halloween night. I might go crash in a hotel Halloween night.
Come up to WNEP at the station. Stay up there.
I'll just sleep in the garage.
There you go. That'd be perfect.
Oh,
well,
man.
Yeah, I think you definitely have some sort of something going on. I mean, whether you want to believe it's a ghost or if any of our listeners can even debunk some of these things or have any ideas to debunk some of these for Chris and his little haunting that might be happening. But
Yeah, if there's an electrician out there or anything like that and wants to explain the whole light thing, like, I'd be so happy if you wanted to call me and tell me that's a normal thing. I would probably appreciate that. If not, then...
It just seems like you have much more events that happen not right after each other, but still, after each other, to say that there's nothing there. I mean, there definitely seems like something.
Yeah, and what's weird is there's been people who lived in this apartment before me, obviously, and I just have not heard it from anybody ever reporting anything like this. And trust me, I wouldn't go on Twitter and say what I said unless I was 100% certain that I thought something was here. So it's just odd that I'm the first one really experiencing anything.
It could just be the younger person sort of thing, you know?
Yeah.
That's the only thing that I can think of for that one.
That's crazy, y'all. I mean, to touch on your point of, like, does it get scary? Like, no, but yes. Like, if it's, like, 2 a.m. and I'm hearing noises, like, I'm, like, out of it and I'm tired, and that does get scary.
Yeah, it's definitely when you startle you.
Heart's racing. Yeah, no. That, or if you, like, wake up at, like, the witching hour and you hear a noise, then you're like, all right, stop messing with me. This is a sick joke.
Yeah, definitely. Just, I guess you can't let your mind get to thinking too much about it, you know? It's just kind of like, okay, that happened. Move on.
And I did that for after the kid came and visited, and I couldn't really sleep that night. I thought about it a lot the next day, and then it kind of just, like, faded out of my mind. I heard things from here and there, but then again, what sparked everything again was the whole light situation, and then that's why I decided, like, all right, I'll just tell everybody. So maybe more stuff will happen, maybe less stuff will happen because of that, maybe since we're talking about it. I don't know. But it's going to be interesting to see if anything big happens here in the next couple of days.
Definitely keep
us
posted.
You'll definitely have to keep us
posted. Yep.
100%. And anybody out there listening that can try and debunk anything, please, like I said, call the show. They'll let me know. And, I'd be happy to hear anybody debunk anything.
We're always open to that.
Yep.
If you have an explanation, come on down.
Yeah, right? Exactly. I'll let you in the apartment and everything. Wear a mask and we'll be good to go.
Oh, sounds good. All right. Well, thank you for coming on the show, Chris. We really appreciate it.
Yep. Thanks for joining us tonight, Chris.
Yeah. Thank you all for having me. I know I spoke a lot and kind of gave you guys my whole rundown. Just hope people don't think I'm crazy out there. But
no.
Yeah. But yeah, it was good to, like, I don't know. It kind of felt good to kind of, like, share everything with everybody instead of just, like, telling my family. Kind of my own personal experiences. Probably my landlord will probably listen to this at some point and call me, like, it's haunted.
Like, yeah. Don't be telling people that, because when you move out,
they don't want to move in.
Yeah, I know, exactly. So unless they find creeps like me who think living in a haunted place is kind of cool, so but yeah, well, thank y'all for having me. This was fun.
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for joining us on the Creepy Side.
Thank you.
Be sure to like WNAP's Creepy Side of NEPA on Facebook. That's the best way to receive the latest show information.
Next on the show is WNAP's Julie Sidoni. Julie is an anchor and also a Health Watch reporter. Welcome to the show, Julie.
Well, thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
We're happy to have you. Julie, I know you're telling me a little bit about your story you want to share with us the other day here in the studio, but I know it isn't exactly a creepy story, but it's definitely an interesting one, that's for sure.
You know, I never really thought of it as a ghost story or a creepy Halloween story. I always thought, frankly, it was more like a power of prayer kind of story, but I got to thinking that if that's not something that you believe in, that it's something you would definitely give you, you know, make the hair on the back of your neck stand up. Let's put it that way. It's an interesting story, that's for sure.
Yes.
Something above me was happening. Let's put it that way.
So what exactly happened?
So it was 2016, 4 years ago, almost exactly to the day, really. It was the fall of 2016. And I was training for my very first half marathon. And I didn't know if I could do it, frankly. I was really nervous about being able to run 13 miles. And so I followed the training protocol to a T. If it said I had to run X number of miles that day, I ran X number of miles that day. And what that meant was I had to wake up really early in the morning to get those runs in before work. Now, you know right now how dark it is in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So that's exactly how dark it was back then. You know, I'm waking myself up at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning. It's pitch black.
Yeah.
And I'm getting in those long runs because I have to. So one morning, I have my earphones in, my earbuds. I'm listening to music. And I live in Kingston, so I like to run along the dike. And I was running through Kirby Park. And I'm thinking to myself, like, Julie, you're being an idiot right now. You have done stories about not being alone in a park at, you know, in the dark when there are people around, you can't hear you. You know, it was like, it was kind of one of those, like, what are you doing kind of moments. And sure enough, like, I ran past a, I don't know who it was. Someone was sleeping under a park bench there in Kirby Park. And I started to get this really creepy feeling, like, I am making myself a huge target, right? Like, I could be a victim of something at any point. I am being really stupid because it's the middle of the night.
Right, yeah.
And so I kind of said this little prayer, like, oh, God, I'm being really dumb right now. Get me out of this. Please, somebody get me out of this. And so I keep on going, and I'm running, running, running. Like, maybe 15 seconds after I said that, after I got that super creepy feeling, I hear footsteps behind me, like in unison, like, duh, 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 duh. And at first I'm really, really frightened. And I look around and I see it's like 15 members of ROTC. There are these young men in army camo, like fatigues. They probably come from the armory, you know, right there by the park on Wyoming Ave. Or not Wyoming Ave, I'm sorry, Pierce. Is that Pierce or is it Market? Now I'm forgetting. But anyway.
Market.
Yeah, I think it's Market.
Market, you're right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So the armory right there. And so suddenly I am surrounded by like 15 or 20 guys, these young men in camo jogging. And they are on all sides of me. They are in front of me, behind me, on either side of me on the dike. And they're like, morning, good morning, good morning. Good morning. And so I'm running, 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 running alongside of them. And it was still pitch black. And we ran, let's say, in unison. And I'm not a fast runner. These guys are probably way faster than I am. But they were kind of taking my pace. And suddenly, the sun comes up. They go right over the bridge into Wilkes-Barre. And I keep going straight on the dike back to Kingston, back to, like, the Church Street area. And I thought, oh, my gosh. Like, in that 1 second where I said, please, can I have a little help here because I'm doing something really stupid? Suddenly there were like 20 young men around me in camo, just jogging, just on their normal jog. I didn't see them. I didn't hear them. I had no idea where they came from. I didn't hear them behind me previously.
Yeah, that was my question. You didn't see them at all before that?
No, I saw nothing. I heard nothing. Now, it could have been because I had music on, of course. But I took my earbuds out when I saw the gentleman who was sleeping under the bench. Because I thought, okay, now, you know, be alert here. Don't be stupid.
Right.
It's nighttime. You're alone. So I took my earbuds out. I didn't hear anything for a solid, say, half a minute after I saw the guy on the bench. And then suddenly out of nowhere were all of these people running around me, almost like jogging me to safety or something. It was I had shivers from the top of my head down to my feet. It was the creepiest thing that's ever happened to me.
That's so weird. And especially because, like, you know, they always say, trust your gut. Like, if you're in a situation that you really don't feel comfortable, you know, get out of the situation. But you were sort of in a situation that, what were you going to do? Like, turn around and run back the same way that you just came from? Like, it probably would have taken you just as long to either turn around and run back to, you know, wherever, or to just continue on your run. So
exactly. I was already in the heart of Kirby Park, and it was probably, if it was 5:30, I would have been surprised. You know, it's really dark and it's early in the morning, and I shouldn't have put the earbuds in, that's for sure. But once I did, I thought, you know, that was kind of dumb. And I swear I didn't hear a single thing, and suddenly they were surrounding me. And I can't
And just at the time you needed them.
Just at the time I needed them. And I've told that story many times, and I get different reactions from people. But I swear none of that is even one bit elaborated upon. There is just that is exactly what happened. It was just that instant, almost like they had dropped from the sky. There they were, surrounding me as I jogged slowly.
Definitely an interesting story. Not necessarily creepy, but like I said earlier, definitely interesting.
Interesting, and it was one of those things that sometimes when I think about it, I go, like, whoa. I don't know where or why that happened, but that just happened. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, you could say, obviously, it could, like, you kind of tried to debunk it a little bit. Like, yes, it could have just been you didn't see that these guys were there, or maybe they were far enough away that, you, like, they just kind of happened to catch up to you right at that moment. But, I mean, that's a really big coincidence, too, that you had just been saying, you know, like, hey, please, you know, help me get out of this, just let me get out of this safely, and you had kind of had a creepy feeling, and then all of a sudden these men disappear out of nowhere.
Plus you'd think if there are, and I don't know how many there were, I didn't stop to count, but let's say there were a dozen to 15 of them or so, mm-hmm. You would think that they were talking, you would think I would have heard something after I took my earphones out.
Yeah,
I
especially didn't hear 10 to 15 people jogging or running, you would definitely hear some kind of footprints, I would think. Footsteps.
I didn't hear footsteps. I didn't hear heavy breathing. I heard nothing. I heard total silence until that exact moment they were all around me.
That's absolutely crazy.
In any case, I made it back home safely, and that was the end of that. But I love that story because it just sort of illustrates that there's, whatever you want to call it, there's just something out there that's a little bit bigger than we are that we don't totally understand.
Somebody or something was looking out for you at that moment.
Oh, yeah. Yep. So I hope that's kind of what you were looking for. Maybe not, but...
Yeah, it definitely fits in. It fits in with a story that just makes you wonder.
It makes you wonder. And around this time, you never know. You never know.
Mm-mm. Never know, for sure.
Yeah, so there you go. That's my creepy early morning running story. And I still do run, but I don't wake myself up at 5 in the morning to do it, so...
No. Yeah, that is early.
It's a little early.
Yeah. Well, thanks for sharing that with us tonight.
I hope that worked. You're welcome. I love this podcast. I love storytelling. I love when people tell stories. That's the whole reason I got into this business to begin with. Mm-hmm. So I think this is a really cool outlet.
Well, thanks.
Yeah, thank you.
We appreciate you being on the episode.
My pleasure.
Have a good night.
Perfect.
Okay, you guys too.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Next on the episode, we have Carrie Kearns. Hi, Carrie.
Hey, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Peachy.
Hey, Carrie, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited about this podcast.
We're excited to hear your stories. We hear you have a couple of them.
I have a few, yes.
All right, well, start with whichever story you want first.
Sure. Well, I've been fascinated with the dead since I was a kid. I was telling Dan the other day, growing up, I lived in the country and my parents' house was right near a cemetery. So when I was little, I would walk over the cemetery at nighttime with my friends and kind of peruse around. It's an old cemetery, 1800s. And I would always feel like there was someone walking behind me when no one was there, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So fast forward a couple years and, remember that game Bloody Mary where you spin around a couple of times, you look in the mirror?
Yes.
I remember trying that back in grade school.
Yes. So I would say I was about 10 years old and I'm with my friends and we all decided to do Bloody Mary. So we go in the bathroom one at a time. I'm like, okay. I went in there, spinned around a couple of times, the Bloody Mary, however that works, because I haven't done it since then. Mm-hmm. And I spun around and I looked in the mirror. And I saw the figure of, not Bloody Mary, but a little boy in like a football jersey and dark hair staring back at me.
Oh, my gosh.
So I kind of stood there.
That never worked for me.
No, me neither.
I stood there frozen. I was like, oh, my God, who is this little boy? It's not my reflection. It's someone else's reflection. So I kind of stood there. And it seemed like an eternity, frozen in time. And it just kind of dissipated. And then my friends came in and like, what'd you see? What'd you see? What'd you see? Like, you won't believe me. And they didn't. They didn't believe me at all.
But it definitely seems like one of those stories that stuck with you all these years.
It has, yes. It has.
So did you recognize this kid at all? Was he like somebody that you knew? No?
Nothing? No. I have no idea. I mean, I was young, so, you know, just seeing this little boy, I thought, well, I don't know. It could have been maybe a boy who died, or maybe it was, I have no idea. Like, it was the only time I saw this little boy.
That's when so I crazy. Yeah. Were you in your house or like a friend's house, or where were you?
I was at a friend's house. We're having a sleepover. That's usually when we would get into trouble with playing games like Bloody Mary and Ouija board and all that stuff, conjuring up the dead.
Of course. As you do.
Yes, yes. So as I got older, you know, I still had like little experiences where, you know, I would see things or feel things, you know, mostly like when I was sleeping, I would feel something get into bed next to me and nothing was there. So when I lived in Baltimore, and this was, I would say, back in 2005, I was living in Baltimore, working in Baltimore on TV. And it's not the safest neighborhood where I lived.
Right.
So, you know, I work second shift. I came home. I you know, walk my dog. I'm getting ready for bed. Get in the bed. I'm sleeping. And I just felt like someone was standing in my bedroom. Like, I just had this weird, eerie feeling like someone was there. And I look up and I see in the bedroom archway, there's this black figure just standing there. And I thought, oh my God, this is how I'm going to die. Someone broke into my apartment. I'm in Baltimore. Someone broke in and they're going to kill me now.
Naturally, that would be your first reaction, not something paranormal.
That was my first reaction. And then I look at my dog. My dog was sound asleep. I was like, well, someone technically broke in. My dog would be barking and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So then I realized, oh man, I think this is kind of like something paranormal. And I did what any grown woman would do. And I closed my eyes and I put the covers over my head and I prayed for it to go away. And it did eventually, but that was just one of the instances I had in Baltimore. Another time, I remember having a friend stay over, and in the middle of the night, I was sleeping, and I heard someone go, "Carrie." So I'm thinking my friend snuck into my room and was trying to scare me. And I opened my eyes. No one's in my room. My bedroom door is closed. I go back to sleep. Okay. A couple minutes later, same thing. "Carrie." Like, and I'm like, oh, come on. Are you kidding me? So I never really, the only thing I ever saw in my apartment in Baltimore was that black figure in the hallway. Fast forward, you know, I moved back to Scranton, and it was an older house. And when I moved in there with my ex-husband, the owners of the house said, "Hey, you know, this place is a little haunted, you know, your keys may move around, garage door may open, nothing to worry about." He goes, "Just my mom."
She, well, at least they gave away. You a heads up.
Hey, yeah. Hey, heads up. Yeah. And it did. It happened. Like a few weeks after we first moved into the house, weird things were happening. My keys kind of moved around. Garage door would open without hitting a button. The gas stove would turn on.
Ooh, that's dangerous.
Yeah. So then, living there for a few years, I started to notice things in my bedroom. And I always thought, well, maybe I'm dreaming. You know, you kind of want to write it off. Like, no, I didn't see anything. I'm dreaming. Right. So in my old bedroom, there was a mirror that was kind of like bolted into the closet door. And it was there when we moved in, left it there, whatever. Didn't think anything of it. So a couple of nights, I open my eyes and I see like people in my bedroom who were kind of translucent. And it freaked me out a little bit. I'm like, okay, all right, I see how this works.
Yeah, of course. I would be freaked out also.
Right? Immediately do what a grown woman would do, close my eyes, put the covers over the head and say, all right, leave me alone. And it wasn't until, you know, days later where I rolled over in bed and I look to the left of me and there was an old man.
Oh my God.
To me, old man. And I'm like, oh my God. Oh my God. But I was so paralyzed in fear, I couldn't talk. So I'm kind of like staring at this old man and then he kind of dissipated. I'm like, what the heck? What the heck is going on in here?
Yeah.
Two nights, you know, after that, I open my eyes again. There are little kids next to my bedside table, kind of watching me sleep. I was like, all right. I'm like, I gotta... What is going on in this house?
This is not just my landlord's mother anymore.
No, yeah, and it seems like you handle it better than I would, that's for sure.
Well, I mean, I didn't know what to do. I think because since I was little, yeah, the dead kind of freaked me out a little bit, but it can't really hurt me. So, yeah. So, I had a family member come over who was very in touch with the paranormal and all that stuff. I was like, I need to like sage this house. I don't know what to do. I keep seeing things. I keep feeling things. And came in my bedroom and looked at the closet door and the mirror. They're like, you know, this is a portal.
Oh my God.
I was like, come on. You gotta be kidding me. Like this is a portal. And this is why you're seeing all these spirits in your bedroom.
So what did you do from there? Like, was there anything that you could do or?
Well, the only thing to do was take the mirror off of the closet door and get rid of it. But here's the catch. You can't just, you can't break it. You have to bury it.
Oh, God.
Wow, that's interesting.
So did you bury it?
Well, I gave it to someone to take care of that because I wasn't about to bury a mirror because I was just too freaked out with the whole portal thing. I was afraid that maybe if I buried it, that I maybe, I don't know, conjure up something else.
Yeah. You don't want to mess with it.
Yeah. So after that, I got rid of the mirror. And after I got rid of the mirror, I didn't have any paranormal, you know, anything going on in the house. Like, it seems like the mother who lived there before, who passed away, she left. And then the old man and the kids and all the other spirits that I did see in the house kind of.
So everything seemed to be connected to that mirror.
Yeah, they seemed to be connected to that mirror. And he was a little creepy.
Yeah, and of course, I would say so. Yeah.
And my ex, you know, my ex never believed me. He's like, oh, whatever. He's like, I'm like, you don't see it, but I see it. I see dead people. You don't. So now I'm the crazy one.
The house seemed to be very full, even though there were only two, like, physical beings there.
Correct. And, you know, and of course, at the time, in Scranton, three dogs, nothing. They were sound asleep. So I always knew that, okay, it's not a human actually lying next to me. It's a spirit.
Yeah, nothing seemed to disturb the dogs.
No, the dogs slept right through it. I'm like, can you help a girl out here? Come on, help.
That's so funny that they like never, you know, reacted at all to any of these things. Cause you always hear stories about like, oh, well, you know, we were talking to Chris and Chris was saying how his cat at one point got like real weird. And so he kind of knew that something was weird was happening. And there were a couple other experiences that were going on at the same time. And, you know, you hear these stories about people's dogs barking at nothing and stuff like that. But your dogs were just unbothered.
They weren't bothered. I think there were a few instances in the daytime where they would kind of look over in the corner of the living room and do like a head tilt, like, what are you looking at? And they would just be fixated.
That's weird.
It was just, you know, things like that. So I never really, because I knew Mommy Dearest was haunting this house, so I wasn't really worried, you know, what she was going to do. She wasn't a harmful, or I should say an evil spirit.
Right.
It sounds like you kind of have a lot of more positive, I guess, in a way, experiences. Like, there's never been anything sinister.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like there was anything negative really happening to you.
No, I never really had anything evil happen, thank God. Even after playing with Ouija boards as a kid, I thought, oh, geez, years down the road, this is going to come back to haunt me. But I never really felt like I was in danger or felt, you know, any kind of threat. It was more of, if you've ever seen the show The Ghost Whisperer, someone's like, these spirits were like, hey, you know, help us go to the other side.
They just wanted to let you know that they're there.
Right. I'm like, I just want you to let me sleep.
You could do this at any other time.
Just not now.
Exactly. Exactly. Since living in Scranton, I haven't, moving out of Scranton, I should say, I haven't really experienced any paranormal, you know, activity type of things, but like smell, sometimes I will smell, like, I smell my grandfather sometimes. He passed away when I was a teenager. Sometimes I will smell him in my Jeep, or I smell mothballs, which I always correlate with my grandmother, who always had mothballs in her closet. So now I just have scents right now. I haven't seen any spirits, thank God. But who knows? After this episode airs, they may conjure back up again.
Maybe. Yeah, you never know. If they do, you'll have to come back on to tell us all about it.
Absolutely.
You definitely have some stories. I mean, they always talk about how, like, some people are more sensitive to experiencing things than other people. So, I mean, that could even, too, explain why you were experiencing things, but your ex-husband didn't really have any experiences at all in the house.
Yes. And I'm just very, and my mom's very sensitive to seeing things as well. So it kind of runs in the family a little bit. My sister, I don't think she's ever seen a ghost, but
you sure have.
Yeah, you sure have. And that story with them being centered around that mirror, that's just crazy to me.
Yes. And I saw an episode, I think it was on, I don't know, one of those Discovery Channel, and it was about portals and that kind of like, oh, that does happen. It's like a gateway to the other side. You always think in a movie, okay, yeah, it doesn't exist until you start witnessing it and seeing someone laying next to you.
Right. You never thought it would happen to you or be in your house.
Exactly. Exactly. It's pretty freaky.
I totally agree with that.
Well, I'm just thankful that they've all been more Casper-like than, you know, demons or anything.
Thank God. Thank God.
I just want to say hi, Carrie.
Black eyes or red eyes. I'm wrong.
Please, no.
Yeah, and I have many other stories, but, I mean, those were the most significant ones that I can remember.
Yeah, the spirits definitely seem to follow you around for some reason.
They do. Every place I've lived, I've experienced something, except right now. I haven't really had any experiences except for the smells of, like, you know, passed away family members, that kind of thing.
That's almost comforting, though, too, you know, like, hey, my family member's still here. They're kind of watching over me a little bit.
Yeah, it is comforting. It is comforting. I've never felt, like, fear of someone, like someone walking behind me and turning around, no one's there. I haven't experienced that yet.
Well, fingers crossed that doesn't happen again.
Yes. Fingers crossed.
I'd like to thank you for joining us for this episode.
Well, thank you, Dan. I appreciate you having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming on, Carrie.
Thanks, Nora.
Thanks for joining us around the WNEP campfire for our Halloween episode here on The Creepy Side.
Don't forget, this is not the end of The Creepy Side of NEPA for the year. If you have an idea for a next episode or a story you would like to share with us, email us. Our email address is ghost@WNEP.com. We could also be reached through our Facebook page, WNEP's Creepy Side of NEPA. We love hearing from you.
Happy Halloween!
Happy Halloween. Until next time, enjoy The Creepy Side.
This has been The Creepy Side of NEPA. If you have a spooky story that took place in northeastern or central Pennsylvania, send it to ghost@WNEP.com for your chance to share it on an upcoming episode. We're dying to hear from you.